So thank you, Phil. So my name is Sarah Rice, and I'm one of the co-pastors here, as Bruce said. And Bruce asked if I could come talk about some research I've been doing in Fiji. Has anybody ever been to Fiji? Oh, so many people. That's wonderful. Anybody been to the Coral Coast Corridor? Yes, Lynn, you have? Yep. It's one of the most popular tourist places in the Pacific Island. And I'm going to talk to you about why I think the topic I was researching is important, and then what it means for us now, and why, as a pastor, I'm also doing this research. I think that's an important one to look at. So, there we go. In scripture, social justice is often talked about in this kind of triangle. There's God, there's people, and there's the land. So we can remember many stories where the land, the promised land, is not yet taken, hey? And we know that people cry out to God. And we also hear of stories where land is taken away from people. Maybe they're in debt, and the land is taken away. And then in the Jubilee, they were always supposed to give the land back to those that inherited it. And so when Jesus Christ came, we see that he healed people who were unjustly injured and so couldn't work on the land. And so injustice in the Bible is often your land being taken away or injured in a way that you cannot work on the land. And when Jesus came, he was talking about that for all of humanity, that God created a nice space for everybody, and to unlawfully take away somebody's home is what scripture often calls an injustice. And that's kind of the foundation. And if somebody has a workplace injury that happens because they weren't kept safe, in scripture that would be an injustice that God cares a lot about. And so if we look at our climate today, a big injustice that has been happening is that of indigenous people and the land. And I think Jesus cares a lot about this. For one, it takes them away from land that was originally theirs. Another one is it affects the social fabric. Families all of a sudden end up in immense poverty. We know that in the story of New Zealand, that Māori are some of the biggest stats of poverty that we have here. And the dislocation from land has incredible effects on people. And I think Jesus really cares about this. He cares about us flourishing. And he said to us to go out in the world and multiply and have a good time, really. But what has happened is that there's become a land grab for resources of those who are powerful wanting to get resources from those who are vulnerable. So in Fiji, what's happening is the New Zealand government, the Australian government, China, the Netherlands, all these kind of big global players are saying to Fiji that they need to privatize their land. So indigenous people in Fiji, 91% of all land is owned by family groups. So if you think of an iwi owning land, that's how the whole of Fiji is kind of done. And they lease land to people. And what our kind of government wants to do is privatize it so we can actually go buy the land. And Fiji has a lot of oil, has a lot of gold, has a lot of fertile soil, and we're running out of place for dairying. And so our big agenda right now is actually dairying in Fiji. But our big issue is that we can't buy the land. And so I'm part of a research group. And so what all these kind of governments are saying is that communal ownership has not enabled any country to develop. So what they're saying is there's no way you can get out of poverty if family groups own land. Now what's kind of untrue about this quote, and which is done by one of the leading economists, is that Switzerland, a lot of their land is communally owned. In Spain, a lot of their land is communally owned. In many countries in Europe, there's quite a lot of family-owned land still. And so the statement isn't necessarily true, but it serves a purpose for an agenda that is happening in the Pacific right now. And so I'm part of a big research project. I don't know if anybody knows the Marsden Foundation. They are an independent research group, and my thesis is in relation to their project. And so my topic is to better understand the importance of customary land as a cultural, economic, and social resource for Ōtoki, who are indigenous people to Fiji, entrepreneurs. And so I was trying to contest this big narrative that says Fiji needs to privatize land, because the argument is that it's going to create a lot of poverty. And we know that in scripture, God cares quite a lot about poverty. And we know that in new creation, there won't be poverty. And so participating in God's active, loving work means that we stand up when injustices happen, which I know Bruce and Warren are very passionate about. So I thank you for inviting me here today. And so this is the, I was staying at Namatakula village, and that's where I was, in this wonderful village. In 50 years it's probably going to be under ocean, it's going to be sunken, but I was so busy, I only made four walks on the beach 3 times in 6 weeks. I was thinking about that the other day. I would get up at 6 o'clock, get back at 9 o'clock, and there was just no chance. I just would need an hour to myself in my room, but didn't get to enjoy that. And this is the family I was staying with, really wonderful family. This is the village again, and in Fiji you hitchhike. So the bus system isn't that great, the hitchhiking system is wonderful. And so I got to meet so many people and got to tell of God's good news to so many people on my hitchhiking rides, because it was about 30 minutes and they would ask me why I was in Fiji, and I would start by saying to them, I don't know anybody more passionate about Fiji than Jesus Christ, who's my Lord and Savior, and who cares about this island here. And so it was amazing to be able to do research, but also to affirm people and say Jesus really loves you and really cares about you. So this is the restaurant Hinua. So this is a restaurant built on customary owned land, and often what happens is families lease lands to big resorts. But this family decided, no, we want to try as indigenous people run a business. They are the only successful indigenous run business on the Coral Coast Corridor. I met with the acting Prime Minister of Fiji to kind of say, why don't you support businesses like this? And he actually dines at this restaurant often. Many people miss it, but it's become a popular restaurant. And the family who own it will capture your heart and your stomach. I'm going to show you some of the food. This is called kokanda. Has anybody ever had this? It's like raw fish cooked in lemon and then with coconut on it. Yeah. So what's amazing about this is the coconuts are collected from their land. The fish is caught from the sea right in front of the restaurant. And all of the vegetables are grown by local people in the area. So what often happens is when aid organizations come in, they involve a business with the foreign products. So they say, you need to buy products from New Zealand. You need to participate in the global economy. But those products are more expensive. And so a business owner struggles to pay the prices that we pay for the same product. But this family was so amazing. They just looked at the resources they had. They went, well, coconuts are right there. Fish are right there. Lemons are found in our garden. Let's make dishes that we can just find all around us, which is really amazing. So this is some more of the food. That was very important to the owners. I tried every single dish, which I didn't stop them. It was so delicious. And all of those, the food that you can see in those pictures, are done in what we call customary collected practices. So when they would go and find octopus, they would then think, who in the village is old and doesn't have any octopus to eat tonight? And so while they're collecting food for the restaurant, they're also collecting food for people who are really vulnerable. And it's just incredible. Now, again, foreign owners, when they come in, say, oh, but that's wasting time. You need to think about the profit that you're going to make. Maybe you should charge that older person like $20. But for this family, they said, no, it's really important to us that we're able to give back to our community. And then for the workers in their restaurant, normally you look for like the most capable workers, hey? You want to make sure that they're going to offer really good customer service. But they went to their village and they said, who here's the most vulnerable? And what they found was that it was women who had children outside of wedlock. In Fiji, you get really marginalized if that happens. And so they looked for those family members and they hired them. Part of the woman's day is they're allowed to have a 2-hour nap at work. There's a bed out the back. And the reason why they do that is that these are single moms who are so busy, they often don't get time to sleep. So in their employment, they allowed a 2-hour nap. That was really significant to the woman who I was interviewing. Another thing was that they were allowed to change shifts among themselves, and they were paid every single day, which for a mum, often the costs could go up or down every day. And what I noticed was the restaurant owners would say, any extra costs this week? And they'd say, oh, I've got school uniforms. Oh, don't worry about it, here's the extra $50. And so they had their base pay, but they paid them every day to make sure they wouldn't be without. Isn't that wonderful? And do you know why they did that? Because Jesus Christ had met them in a profound way, and they themselves were only spear fishing and pig hunting. They came to know Christ, and Jesus said to them, you've got to care for the most vulnerable in your village. Now again, I met up with business kind of mentors for people like this, and they kept saying to me, oh, you know, these people, they just hire the riffraff in their villages. And so I got to say to them, they do this because of the love of Jesus Christ. And maybe you need to ask them why they hire people like that, and the story will really inspire you. Now this restaurant, is everybody with me so far? Making sense?
Yep.
Okay. This restaurant is among 3 to 5 star resorts, and the majority of the resorts don't advertise that this restaurant exists. So I went to resorts as a pretend guest and would say, oh, I just feel like some local food. Can you recommend me anywhere? And they would say, oh no, there's nothing like that. And then I'd say, oh, I know that there's Hinua, like how come you haven't told me about that? And often the staff would say, the restaurant management says we can't tell people because then they won't go to our own restaurants. Now the thing about the own restaurants is foreign owned resorts bring in all their food. So when they came to Fiji originally, they said, we'll buy local produce, we'll build up the economy through investing back into it. But what they do is they actually import most of their food. So if you go to a place like The Warwick, has anybody ever heard of that? Yeah, it's so wonderful. I got to stay there a night. The people I was living with knew somebody who knew somebody. You know how it works in Fiji? And before I knew it, I was having a night there. They get their bacon from the Netherlands. They get all their vegetables from New Zealand. They get all their meat from Australia. And on the Warwick site, it says that we buy our things locally. What they buy locally is coconuts. And so, you know, there's not this investment back into the community. There's actually quite a divide. But this restaurant, when I was talking to them about that and said, what does that make you feel inside? Because that's really, really hard. They talked about David and Goliath. So they felt like they were David with these massive, big, international restaurants that they were competing with. But do you know what's really interesting is when David saw Goliath, he didn't go, oh, you big giant. He didn't actually acknowledge that Goliath was big. We often talk about David overcoming a giant. But what David saw was somebody who was defiling God. He saw somebody who was not honoring God. And so he doesn't go, "Oh, you big giant, I'm going to try over come you." He says, "Stop defiling our God, and I'm going to be the one who the God will empower to stop you." And so the owners talked about, they don't see these big restaurants as giants. They actually see them as people who are not honoring God and are not honoring local people. And so for them, they feel victorious through God who strengthens them. And so they are actually competing with Warwick's restaurant, which is a 5-star restaurant. On TripAdvisor, they keep going first, second. And for them, this shows that Indigenous people can do it in their own Indigenous way, but it also shows that God honors that they care for the most vulnerable. And there's more I'm going to tell you about what else they do. And so for them, that's been really affirming of their own faith, which for me was affirming for my faith too. And so that was just wonderful to see. And another thing with this restaurant is they are making a profit, which is wonderful. But what they're doing with their profit is they're helping other people. 4 other businesses have started because of Hinua. So this now means that there's 3 more Indigenous-run businesses on the Coral Coast. That's significant. And one of them is Fijian Indian. So in Fiji, there is quite a divide between Fijian Indians and Itoke. But this family said that in scripture, they saw that every culture and every nation come to Jesus Christ. So every culture and every nation is welcome at the table. And so they have open meals on a Sunday, and Fijian Indians have started coming to know Jesus, which was just amazing. I went to one of the baptisms, and it was so incredible. But they're helping Fijian Indians get into business who are vulnerable. In one of my interviews of somebody who has worked in business for a long time and has just been voted into parliament, which I'm really happy about, he said what often happens when Indigenous people start businesses is the local Fijians will cut off all of their supply chains, so the businesses can't actually run. And so there's so much rivalry between the two ethnicities that Hinua has gone, "We won't do that." And so for every Indian Fijian they get cut off from, they seek another one intentionally. And so in the Sigatoka town, which is predominantly Fijian and Indian, they now get better deals than other Fijian Indians. That's incredible. That is God breaking down barriers. That is reconciliation, which I just found really exciting. So what Hinua is really challenging is a philosophical belief that's behind economic development. So this is what is the belief behind most aid organizations, is that for somebody to get out of poverty, they need to go from strong family connections to instead individual freedom. They need to go from the local community and what the local community resources have to instead relying on the global economy. They need to go from social obligations. This is what we call kirikiri. So if I have 2 pens and you don't have a pen, I'll give you 1 of my pens. And they say we need to stop that. That needs to not happen, and it needs to instead be savings, investments, and risk analysis. This unsurplus labor, if anybody's read Adam Smith's Wealth of the Nations, this is still really what's guiding economic development. So everybody needs to have specialized labor. So the family members that I spent time with who have the 2-hour nap, that would be seen as really negative because that's 2 hours they're not being productive. And then customary land needs to change to private land. And so what happens is aid organizations go into Fiji and they talk about empowerment. So empowerment is moving from traditional practices to more what they call progressive practices. And they do that through education. So I looked at some educational documents, and 12-year-olds are learning about why individualism and self-interest is more important than caring about your family. So that's how the next level happens, through education. And the third level is through alternative employment, like the big resorts. So the big resorts can actually be positive places. It's just that all of the development that is happening in Fiji is geared towards taking Fijians from indigenous Fijians to more of a Westerner business person. And I think Jesus actually likes Fijians. I think Jesus actually is into their own cultural practices. And so this is what we were trying to say, is that this changes a whole culture's fabric making that actually cares for other people. So what they've noticed is, in communities where this is adopted, poverty increases, so more aid is needed. And then the poverty increases and more aid is needed. So Fiji has received the most aid than any other country in the world. And people are going, why hasn't this worked? And indigenous people are saying, I can tell you the answer, but nobody's listening to them. And that's what this project is trying to do, trying to have big ears to listen. So they challenge that customary owned land is a barrier to development. And just to finish, just the way of time, they're helping us rethink economics. But this was a really important thing that the owner said. We choose what is associated with the land, and because of that, we have gone through challenges and proven that we indigenous Fijians can also thrive in business. And I was thinking, what do I want to leave you with here today? And it's that Jesus works through every culture, and Jesus is the fulfillment of every culture. And I think what we've got to learn as New Zealand and Australia in the Pacific is that difference is okay. There's things in our culture that's not good, and we need to deal with that. There's things in their culture that's not good, but it doesn't mean that all of our cultures are bad. I really believe that God comes and redeems us, and that he wants us to be enriched. It's like he's hidden pearls and little treasures in every culture, and he says, be curious. You'll learn more about me from them. And so as you go from here, I encourage you to be curious. And if you meet somebody who's different, dig for that pearl that Jesus put in them. So can I pray for us as I finish this section? Jesus, you are an amazing, dynamic, and creative God. You created us so differently. You created landscapes differently. And people who live in those landscapes form these different cultures. And Jesus, we know that you are a God who has made us all in your image. And because of that, we can look at one another and learn more about you. I pray that as we go from here, you give us opportunities to dig for your image in others. Thank you for Fijians. I pray that you be with them, and that they'll know their worth within you. In your mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good.